A day to eat Emperor. Give me the power, I beg of you!
Hi, I'm Chucky, and I'm your friend to the end. Heidi-ho!
He said Aunt Maggie was a real bitch and got what she deserved.
Say something, damn it!
Hi, I'm Chucky, wanna play?
You stupid bitch, you fucking slut! Did you fuck with me?
Chucky is alive, and he killed Eddie Caputo.
What?
All right, they're gonna be here in 10 minutes. Now tell me what happened.
The kid was right. The doll's alive. He almost got the three of us.
Kill him! Kill him all!
Hi, I'm Chucky. Wanna play?
Andy, you still dreaming about Chucky?
Sometimes.
Did you miss me, Andy? I sure missed you. I told you. We were gonna be friends to the end. And now it's time to play. I got a new game, sport. It's called Hide the Soul. And guess what? You're it. This is no way, you little shit. I'm not gonna spend the rest of my life as a plastic freak. Next time you're alone, you're mine.
Close your eyes and count to seven. When you wake, you'll be in heaven.
This is it, world. From now on, no more Mr. Good Guy. Ade Dewey Dembella. Give me the power, I beg of you.
Hi, this is Larry Zerner from Friday the 13th, Part 3, and you're listening to The Hysteria Continues.
And indeed you are. You're listening to a non-drunk cast of The Hysteria Continues, episode 131. So welcome back. We have all sobered up, I think. How bad was your hangover, Eric?
It was quite bad. It was quite bad.
Okay.
I had to work Monday and Tuesday, and I was not happy at all. It was Wednesday before I started feeling human again, and we recorded it on a Sunday night. So
yeah. But did you we're not likely to see any kind of video flashes?
No, today. The video button will remain unpressed today.
Okay. Yes. Are you naked though?
No, I'm fully clothed because it's winter now. So
okay, right. Well, it's winter lost anyway. Anyway, well, we're glad to know we won't see any nip shots or nip slips.
A little strip show, a little virtual lap dance.
Yes, okay.
You should all be lucky.
Well,
you should all consider yourselves lucky that I did that for you, because not everyone gets to see my lap dance.
Well, yes. Did you feel lucky, Joseph?
Yeah, quite lucky. That was it was quite a show Eric put on.
It was.
Thank you. You're very welcome.
Yeah.
I remember when I was a child suffering a similar trauma from my Uncle Ted. We won't talk about that.
Your Uncle Ted sounds sexy.
Well, let's
don't
move on
you
from that.
Talk about Uncle Ted.
So, Joseph, when are you putting up the video feed from the drunk cast?
Probably the next time Eric pisses me off.
Okay.
You wouldn't dare.
Actions have consequences, Eric. Anyway, Nathan, how about
you? I wasn't thinking about that at the time, was I?
No, you weren't. You see, that's what happens with like all sexting and all this kind of thing with teenagers these days, and they come to regret it. So you should know, as a 40 something man, you should know better.
Yes, I know. But I feel ashamed.
Well, that's okay. It was all very entertaining. But Nathan, did you have a hangover? Because you were drinking Carl Bordeaux, weren't you?
Cardboard.
Oh, yes. Cardboardeaux.
Oh, yes.
Actually, I did not have a hangover because Joseph and I, we did the podcast, I guess, late afternoon, so it wasn't quite the evening yet. So after we finished, I just did not drink anything else and drank a lot of water. So I actually felt okay the next day.
Oh, that's good. That's good. I don't think I felt too bad, actually, but I do.
Yeah, but how much would it take for you to feel bad? Like, 3 gallons of vodka?
I think it would, yeah.
Oh, no, I do get hangover.
Like you. The thing with me was I was determined not to drink too much, and I only started drinking 5 minutes before we started recording, and by the end I was hammered.
I know.
Completely hammered.
You can tell. I listened back to the episode, and it goes into a hot mess, doesn't it, in the last half an hour or so.
People seem to like it.
Yeah, well, we'll see from the feedback we've got a little bit later. But I kept on. I do apologise for my blaspheming. I kept on saying Jesus Christ all the way through it, but I was I just got into that kind of drunk kind of secular thing. Secular thing.
Well, if I remember right, we did end up talking about you being a last Catholic. So.
Yes, I know. Well,
and you did raise your voice to us as well.
I know.
You did. Well deserved. You yelled at us, Justin.
Why did he yell at us again? I can't remember now because I didn't listen back to it.
He yelled at you. He was saying, he's like, give me a chance, for fuck's sake.
Anyway, we've got that for posterity, and who knows, it may become a tradition. We'll talk a little bit about another tradition.
You yelling at Eric? Up.
Yes. Yeah. Well, who knows? Every year.
That is a tradition. Yeah.
Mm. Oh.
Okay. Anyone just drinking matcha green tea at the moment? So that's about as fun. As fun as it's going to get today. But of course, we are talking about this time. We have a double bill. As you heard from the intro, we're going to be tackling a pint-sized killer, and not just one, but two, a double bill of Child's Play movies, the first Child's Play 1 and 2. And because we've got this double bill, and we've got quite a lot of feedback, so we're going to skip Recently Seen, because I haven't seen a massive amount. The only film, I need to very briefly just mention, has anyone seen The Greasy Strangler?
No, but it looks good.
It's interesting. It's like a John Waters kind of slasher movie, kind of sort of somebody going around killing people, but it's just like very large prosthetic penises, very tiny prosthetic penises. Remind me of you, Eric. The latter, of course.
Do I have to reiterate what I said on the drunk cast?
What was that?
Oh, I'm not going to say it again. I'm too sober now.
No. Okay. Well, the camera never lies, Eric. But yeah. So
you didn't get to see my winkle on the video feed. It was only my boobies.
Oh, I thought it was...
That's not true. That's not true.
It is true.
No.
I wasn't that drunk.
They'll know when I upload the video later.
Yeah.
Yeah, they will. The truth will be out.
And they heard all me say the camera's going south. Well, I thought it looked like a dog's penis. Because, like, was that your nipple?
I'm not even going to dignify that with an answer.
It's like a little tube of red lipstick.
You didn't get to see my winkle because I wasn't that drunk. I didn't. I would have had to stand up for you to see my winkle, and... No, you didn't.
Mm. Have you heard of blackouts?
Have I heard of what?
Blackouts.
I didn't have a blackout. I knew exactly what was happening, okay. And you didn't get to see my winkle.
Okay, right. Well, let's move on to other small things. So without further ado, we're going to move straight into Child's Play 1. So here is the trailer for Child's Play, the movie.
Everyone has a birthday they'll always remember.
Can we open my presents now, Mommy? A good guy! I knew it!
Hi, I'm Chucky.
He's something, isn't he?
This is Andy's.
Time for bed, Andy.
Good night, baby.
Good night, Aunt Maggie.
Everyone knows most accidents happen at home.
How did that happen?
This is no accident.
Andy? I'm Detective Mike Norris, homicide.
Andy!
Miss Peterson's dead, Barclays. She fell from the kitchen window.
Someone's moved in with the Barclay family. And so has terror.
Chucky.
Nobody believes you about Chucky.
He came alive in my hand. I...
Oh, for God's sake.
Why won't you believe?
Because I'm sane. Mrs. Barclay, sane and rational.
No one believes the truth. Or lives to tell it. There's nothing nice about murder. There's nothing innocent about Child's Play.
Nobody believes 6-year-old Andy Barclay when he says that Chucky, his new birthday doll, is alive. And when Andy's babysitter is violently pushed out the window to her death, the boy tells his mother and the detective the simple truth. Chucky did it. In this clever, playful thriller, voodoo and terror meet when an innocent-looking doll is inhabited by the soul of a killer who wasn't ready to die. Only young Andy realizes that Chucky, who promises to be his friend to the end, is responsible for the ensuing rampage of gruesome murders. But the real terror takes hold when the deranged doll becomes determined to transfer his evil spirit to a living human being. Okay, Child's Play. Let's see. I remember watching this right around the time it came out on video. I didn't get to catch it at the cinemas, but I enjoyed it. I thought it was, you know, fast-paced, kind of, you know, a little mean-spirited, but kind of fun and playful at the same time. Director Tom Holland, who previously had done Fright Night, has more fun here with doing the whole someone sees something supernatural and no one believes him shtick. And he has a firm grasp on that, I think. He does a very good job of transferring that kind of story from a teenage kid in Fright Night to a small child in Child's Play. For once, the little boy playing Andy, Alex Vincent, he's not too annoying. I mean, his voice is kind of that, a little mawkish mop top kind of thing. But he's surprisingly competent little actor. But the real star of the film is Chucky, the killer doll who stalks Andy to transfer his soul into his body so he can continue his murderous rampage outside of his plastic shell. Furthermore than that, Chris Sarandon as the detective is quite good. Catherine Hicks as the mother is quite good. There's some good suspense, despite the fact that no one really seems to just kick this doll across the room every time it comes at them. It always manages somehow to get the upper hand. I guess you have to suspend a lot of disbelief to kind of believe that, but, I'll let that slide. It's a fun movie. One thing that lends it that kind of, sinister feeling, more so than its silly premise is obviously the voice of Brad Dourif doing Chucky. I'm not much into, killers or even killer inanimate objects with one-liners, but I think Brad Dourif he doesn't play it too silly. I mean, for the first Child's Play, before you get into the more comical, sequels, is kind of, pretty straightforward and pretty creepy at times. I think the scene with Chucky stalking the babysitter Maggie is quite effective. But I do have a lot more to say about it, but I'll pass this over to our other small thing. Eric, what do you think about Child's Play?
What do I think about Child's Play? I think this.
Oh, no. At least he's got a shirt on this time.
Yeah. Okay. And it's gone now. Sorry, show's over, ladies. I have to say, I did see this when it came out in probably 1989 when it came out over here. I love the concept of possessed toys. It always worked for me. Trilogy of Terror, the clown doll in Poltergeist, the giant action man, or G.I. Joe, as you'd call it, in Extro. So the concept works for me. So even before a frame of film is screened, I'm sort of on board with the Child's Play concept. I find it a highly entertaining movie. It epitomizes that kind of 80s comedy horror vibe that was going on at the time. It's very much a popcorn multiplex movie. It's not overtly violent or scary. And it's quite a slow build-up, actually, rewatching it this week compared to other entries in the series. It's a while before Chucky unleashes his sort of sweary, expletive-laden dialogue on screen. There you play that clip in the opening montage where he sort of lets rip into Catherine Hicks's character, and it's a shame he doesn't use the word whore, because I'm a fan of sweary people who shout whore and that type of thing. He calls her a slut, but it would have been nice if he called her a whore. I think that's just me. As you said about Alex Vincent, he's a decent enough actor. I find his character Vandy quite annoying in the first one. He just pressures his mom into buying, this good guy doll. He makes a complete mess of the house when he's trying to make breakfast. I've said this before on the podcast, and this bothers me about horror films, is that he's not in the least bit startled when this doll starts talking to him and telling them, that he's going to kill people and that he's possessed by the soul of a serial killer. I mean, I know he's only six, but still, you know, for fuck's sake, I was clued in enough at that age to know that if a doll started, you know, telling me it wanted to watch the news and that its real name was Charles Lee Ray, then I'd know something was amiss and I would tell someone. You know, I wasn't stupid enough to think, oh, this is the way the toy's meant to work. One of the real triumphs of the film are the special effects. I think the animatronics are incredible. Kevin Yeager's Chucky puppets. I think because Chucky is supposed to be plasticky and phony looking and rubbery and fake, it works because it's really sort of convincing, the expressions they can get him to make. The fleeting glimpses of the actor in the suit kind of are distracting. You know, when Chucky descends from the chimney and sort of runs out from the fireplace, that kind of thing doesn't really work for me because it looks quite different to the animatronic effects. But I mean, they're not too distracting. I wouldn't call Child's Play an essential movie as such, as much as I like it. But it did big box office for a reason, and that's because it's inoffensive enough to appeal to a larger demographic than something like Friday the 13th or Anal Paprika, even. I am a fan of Child's Play. I'm a fan of the whole Child's Play series as a whole, to be honest, maybe apart from part three. I think they're fairly consistent in their entertainment qualities. But yeah, thumbs up for Child's Play from me. Hang on, let's see what Toya thinks. What do you think, Toya?
Oh no.
Hi, I'm Toya. I really like Child's Play.
Talking of annoying voices, Eric's found a way that he can keep popping up on our screen, a little video.
Yep.
Little...
I know, I'm really enjoying it. I said I wouldn't press the video button, but I lied.
Can you see us when you do that? Can't see us, no.
No, you've got to press your video buttons.
Okay, well, we won't be doing that, Eric. But
why not? Anyway, you shamed yourself.
It's good to see you making use of a Toya record. Anyway, is that a coaster?
No, this is Toya's classic 1983 album, "Love Is the Law."
Okay, when you say classic,
yeah, it's classic. It's brilliant.
Okay,
is it gonna be a clack 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 classic?
It is a clack 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 classic.
Could be.
So, speaking of that, Nathan, what do you think of Child's Play?
This might shock you all, but I love Child's Play. loving a movie.
Oh my God.
Impossible.
So, I didn't think you'd love anything more than Halloween Resurrection.
Yeah, that was a fun rant. I mean, with Child's Play, one of my favorite aspects of it is, they try in the movie, of course it wasn't for the previews and all the advertisements for Chucky even before, I had seen it I went to the theater and watched it. So even before all that came out, I knew that the doll was the, killer. But when I watched it, I was surprised, to see that for the first half of the movie, they kind of toy with you a little bit in that, maybe Andy could be the killer. And that would have been interesting, but I don't think it would have lended itself to being very, it wouldn't have got a lot of sequels. But Joseph, you mentioned something, and I was going to ask you guys what you thought about this. But do you feel that in Chucky obviously is, his soul's in the doll, but do you think he only has the strength of what that doll could possibly have, or is there something supernatural going on where he has supernatural strength and nobody can, fend him off very well?
He's got that angry ginger strength going on.
Mm-hmm. Like Toya.
Chucky has a foul mouth.
Like Toya. No, Toya's very polite.
Oh,
no, but yeah, he has a foul mouth, but his strength has to be supernatural because he's able to, stab a dagger through the car seat and all that type of thing.
I'm just going along with the film here. I'd say, not only his quote unquote soul is in the doll, but, his entire essence is in the doll, so his strength would be transferred. I mean, he's got his mind in there, so. I'm sure he grew one. I'm not sure if it was
Does he have to go to the toilet, do you think?
Mm.
Yeah. These are the important questions people need answered.
Might be a little bigger than yours, Eric, but I'm sure you have one.
Well, actually, talking
about. Child's Play never told us.
No, they didn't. Well, that's something they could. What?
Eric.
Was he doing it again? Oh, Eric.
I like that flower pot you got in the background there, Eric.
Thank you.
Talking
it's more of a plant than a flower. But...
Yeah. Talking of ginger people going to the toilet, have you seen that Toya movie where she craps on the floor.
No, there's no such thing. Don't be so stupid. I'm just being so childish.
Have you not heard that movie she was in? She craps on the floor.
No, you're just being stupid. Now.
You Google it. Google toilet.
I'm not
going to
Google that.
Do it honestly. That she is. There's a film. The most recent film she did. She
that's craps. Where Eric draws the line. That's where he.
Google. I'm gonna have to look this up because this sounds like you're joking, but I don't know.
No, look it up. Look, Toya craps on the floor.
He is joking.
Go on, have a look.
I'm gonna dignify
this. This is very exciting, by the way.
I'm not gonna look Googling. Up. She craps on the floor, but
us Googling during the show. Anyway. This is very exciting. Nathan, keep going.
Yeah, keep going, Nathan.
Yeah. Okay, don't pressure me. And I like when Chucky, we finally do see him, like, officially come to life when she's going to throw him in the fire because his, you know, the stuff that he's saying to her, I mean, he's calling, like, just the fact that he's calling her a slut, I mean, you know what I wonder about when I rewatched this movie? I wondered, you know, what Jennifer Tilly's character was up to at this point in time. I guess she just thought he was dead.
Well, I would assume she would. She had just got done doing moving violations, so
yeah. She's but probably she didn't having the realize time that of she her was going to have to start murdering people yet.
Yeah.
Remind me of her. What was her relationship? I haven't watched Bride of Chucky in a long time. What was her relationship to Chucky? Was she?
She was his girlfriend.
All right. Okay.
And she was like just as crazy. I mean, she actually. I think her thing is she loved that he was a serial killer because she. You know, enjoyed watching or him kill and stuff. I think that was her whole thing.
Mm. People are weird.
Kind of a Mickey Mallory thing going on there.
Yeah. All right. Well, I mean, there's not a whole lot left that I guess I can say. I just think it's a really, really good movie.
Okay. Justin, what do you think of Child's Play?
I do wonder sometimes actually if I'm kind of I was too old for Child's Play because although I kind of it's probably one of my least favourite slasher franchises to be honest, the Chucky films. I think Child's Play, the first one, is very well made. I think it's once you know, for me it doesn't have a massive repeat watch. I don't get a huge amount out of it. I think when I first saw it, I think when you have this kind of slight. You know, doubt whether or not they say Andy was the killer, and I think without going into too much background, I think that was originally the idea that there would be more teasing with the audience, and you just wouldn't actually know whether or not Chucky was alive or it was Andy killing people. I think it's all the parts in it are really good. You know, I think it's got a high budget sheen which a lot of slasher movies didn't have, so you do get some quite spectacular things, no more so than the beginning bit with Brad Dourif and Chris Sarandon chasing each other around that toy store. I like the silliness of it. I like the fact that it plays it quite straight in the first film. I mean, obviously, it's a kind of a shameless ripoff of Trilogy of Terror, the Karen Black, you know, the Zuni doll episode, especially when the babysitter's being chased around the apartment. I think that, you know, it's very well done. I also like the, you know, the basically by this point in the late 80s, I mean, slasher movie had been literally done to death, so they're already the tropes and all of that. So that the idea of the it was almost like a pastiche on the indestructible killer. So you have Chucky being dismembered bit by bit to, you know, literally he's just like an arm and a leg and a torso, and he's still coming after people. So it's kind of that in that way. It's quite kind of dryly funny, and of course it then became tipped into much more silliness, like most of the like Nightmare on Elm Street and many of the other kind of later 80s, early 90s slasher movies. I like it well enough. I think it looks great. I say the cast is good, special effects are good. I just think it's for me. It doesn't have the rewatchability that the original Friday the 13th or Halloween or Nightmare on Elm Street have for me. I think I find it. I don't know. It's it's not. It's the Child's Play series is not my favorite franchise. So there.
Hey. Oh no. The echo.
Bunny man.
God. There's a couple of scenes in this film that kind of I get a kick out of. One is when Chucky's terrorizing Chris Sarandon's character in the car.
always laugh because in these movies, not just in Child's Play, but when there's like a killer trying to, you know, kill someone in a car, they never put on their brakes. They just step on the gas. Mm-hmm. Why do they do that? Why don't they just put on the brakes? I mean, I love the background in the windows. They put in, like, I guess you'd call it the green screen of the traffic moving. It looks like he's driving like 200 miles an hour. I just laughed at that. It was funny. It's like, put on the brake. I mean, there's one point where Chucky's like pressing on the gas, but I mean, it's a doll. And the way cars work, you put your foot on the gas. Put your foot on the brake. The car's not going to go anywhere. Even if you're pressing on the gas, it's just going to kind of rev up. I don't know. I know it's picky, but I laughed at it. I'm like, just put your foot on the brake.
The car scene in Child's Play was incredibly unrealistic and ruined an otherwise glorious evening's entertainment.
Yeah, because the rest of the movie is so realistic, but that just took me out of it.
I know.
I liked it because it's just so funny and just seeing that background just going like by like a blur. I'm like, he must be doing like warp speed.
Well, my favorite scene in the film is probably the famous one where Catherine Hicks's character realizes that he's been operating without any batteries. And so she flips open the battery compartment and realizes it's empty. And then this is the cue for Chucky to unleash his venom.
That was actually a really like suspenseful scene.
It was. I think that one, that bit's well done. Yeah.
Eric, do you fall out? It's a great scene.
Do you gasp sometimes, Eric, when you realize your batteries are gone?
I do. It's usually a very sad evening. It's right. I have to resort to just vanilla.
I tell you another thing that kind of surprised me about the film is, you know, Chris Sarandon's character has a partner, a police partner, and the guy doesn't die. I mean, typically in these movies, the partner gets killed, but the guy survives, which is kind of strange.
Yeah,
you know, getting into spoilers here. So.
Well, there's a huge body count in Child's Play, is there?
There's not only really. About
maybe three or four, is there?
I mean, Maggie and then...
Voodoo Man,
Eddie Caputo.
And... Yeah, the psychiatrist gets electrocuted.
Yeah.
That's about it, probably. Yeah, I mean, it isn't... Yeah, I would never have considered Child's Play a slasher franchise, to be honest. I don't know why, but maybe just because it doesn't involve someone in a mask, you know, looking around the woods. I don't know. I mean, looking at it now, yes, I can see why it qualifies. But, you know, back in the 80s, 90s, I never considered this a slasher franchise. I don't know if you reviewed any of these for Hysteria Lives.
I didn't either.
Justin?
I think there's Child's Play on there. I can't remember. I think.
Mm.
But, but yeah, say it was kind of, I don't know, it's just not my favorite franchise. I can't, you know, it's just...
What about the, like, I know we're skipping ahead, but what about the sort of more meta ones, I suppose you call them, like Bride of Chucky and that?
Yeah, well, I've got the, it was a box set that came out without the first film, but it was four and five, I kind of guess, there's four films in there. I haven't seen them since they came out, so I don't remember that much about them. In fact, I was keener to watch Child's Play 2, to be honest, because Child's Play was so familiar to me it breaks down in two camps as far as I'm concerned with films and especially slasher movies. The ones that you can watch over and over again and they feel comfortable because you know what's coming, but you can enjoy them on that level, and other ones that feel like it's like a record you've listened to too many times and you kind of barely hear it anymore. And so that's how I felt with Child's Play, really. It's a good film, but it just didn't resonate with me this time. Also, as I think I mentioned before, I think I'm you know, a little bit older, is that not that this film was made for kids, but I was that bit older when it came out. So I think this was, I know a lot of slasher movies were kind of aimed at a teenage audience, and I was a teenager when this came out, but very, you know, I was about 19. So I think that's the other reason it just seems a little bit silly. I don't know that if, you know.
Well, yeah, I mean, it is. Well, it is, as I would say. It seems kind of watered down to cater for a more mainstream audience.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's kind of... I mean, we could talk about, when we get into background, talk about the controversies around it, which in some ways I find more interesting than the movies themselves. Not least of all, the fact even right from the very beginning, this movie was protested, I believe, and the studio who made it kind of dumped it onto, you know, sold off the rights to somebody else. It was kind of... You know, even though it had that sheen and it felt very much like a mainstream product, it was still controversial enough to be controversial, basically. But, I mean, did we want to talk a bit, Tony, because we obviously got another film to get to as well, but did we maybe want to talk a little bit about sort of the background and delve into that?
Sure.
Mm. Do you want to go, Joseph? Do you want to go first?
Sure. Speaking of the whole protest angle, you know, during the initial release, there were a crowd of protesters had formed around the entrance to MGM, and they were calling for a ban on the film. You know, they claimed it would incite violence in children. And then local news reporters, you know, that were broadcasting live from the scene. And so producer David Kirshner, you know, he was watching, kind of disturbed by what he saw. Jeffrey Hilton, who worked with Kirshner at MGM, said he could defuse the situation in 10 minutes. So, you know, Hilton went down and spoke to the ringleader, and then the group kind of just disbanded, you know, to the chagrin of the newscasters. Hilton never really specified whether it was threats or diplomacy that kind of saved the day. So I thought that was kind of interesting. That kind of makes me wonder what he said to them to get them to, you know, back off. But let's see, what else do I have? The Chucky films have always been accused of inspiring violence in children. One case linked to the series was a gang in Manchester kidnapping and murdering a 16-year-old girl. While they tortured her, they forced her to listen to recordings of the gang leader repeating the catchphrase, "I'm Chucky, want to play?" Director Tom Holland has always defended the first film from these accusations, stating that viewers of horror films could only be influenced by their content if they were unbalanced to begin with. And I would agree with him there. You know, moreover on the whole,
I don't know if that's true, because after watching Friday the 13th Final Chapter, I went out and danced like Chris Glover, and it would never have occurred to me unless I'd seen the movie.
Yeah, what he's saying is, if you're inspired by horror films to go out killing people, you have to be unbalanced. Yeah. I don't think as much as, you know, your leg may bend like Crispin Glover's, I don't think there's too much unbalanced about, you know, wanting to dance, because you're not harming anyone except yourself.
Well, I don't know, if my legs and arms flail around like Crispin Glover's, then surely if anyone gets in the way, they're going to be injured.
Well, I saw your finger in that picture you sent. It had a very Crispin Glover vibe going on there, Eric. But let's see, Chucky's full name, Charles Lee Ray. It's derived from the names of notorious killers Charles Manson, Lee Harvey Oswald, who assassinated John F. Kennedy, and James Earl Ray, who assassinated Martin Luther King. Catherine Hicks and Kevin Yeager, Chucky's creator, they met on the set of Child's Play, and they were married a year later.
Woo! She has a boyfriend. Woo-hoo.
Yeah. And that kind of goes into background for Child's Play, too, but I'll get to that later. The original plot idea was to have lifelike good guy dolls that had blood and latex skin. If the kids tore the latex skin, they could go out and buy official good guy bandages. In sort of a blood brother pact, Andy cut his own hand and mixed his blood with Chucky's, thus causing him to come alive and become human. So I guess that kind of voodoo angle in the film was kind of shoehorned in maybe at the last minute. In an interview, Don Mancini said in the original script, Child's Play was at first a satire on toy marketing and merchandising for children, before the idea morphed into just your standard kind of horror film instead. That's pretty much all the background I have on it. Do you have anything, Nathan?
No. Yeah. But in my defense, I actually did have a couple of things, but they were more of the well-known stuff and, you know, you already read it, yeah. So.
Okay. I'll let Justin and Eric kind of, you know, they can flash their willies at each other and see who's bigger to go first.
Mine is bigger, so I'll go first. Is that right, Justin?
Well, it isn't, but I'll let you go.
What?
I feel sorry for you.
You've never even seen mine, so you don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Don Mancini's original script for this movie was called Batteries Not Included, and they had to change it because of the Spielberg-produced movie that came out in 87. So then they changed it to Blood Buddy, and that was the draft that you just mentioned there, Joseph, where Andy does a sort of blood buddy pact with the good guy doll. That idea was scrapped. And then the original script, you were saying that the supernatural manifestation of Andy's id was supposed to be what brought Chucky to life. It sort of acts out his rage, kind of like, almost like the Brood, I suppose. Filming started on New Year's Eve in 1987 and went into January and February of 1988. The exteriors were done in Chicago, which is why it looks very, very cold and snowy. And the interiors were done in Culver City in California. Along with the animatronics by Kevin Yeager, they also used Ed Gale, who was a little person in a suit, and they built a set that was about a third bigger than normal to sort of give it scale. They originally used a female voice for Chucky, I suppose, in the same way that they have that female voice doing the voice of Bart Simpson. I can't remember the actor, Nancy Cartwright. But they really realized that, you know, it didn't really work, so they went back and used Brad Dourif instead. The first cut apparently was over 2 hours long. So there's half an hour of deleted footage that I've never seen surface anywhere, but there are stills of various things. There's a scene apparently where a girl finds Chucky and returns him to Andy, saying, "Oh, Chucky said to return him here," blah, blah, blah. But I've never seen the footage as such, just a still. It was released on the 11th of November, 1988. It knocked John Carpenter's They Live off the number one spot. So it was decent enough week for movies, I suppose. Went on to gross $33 million. And the other interesting fact about Child's Play is that I went to school with somebody called Andy Barkley, who is Alex Vincent's character's name in this movie. Not the same person, though. The end.
In the opening montage where Andy's making breakfast and he's watching the good guy show, yeah, on TV, There's a part where one of the kids on the show is like, "I don't have any friends." It really reminded me of you, Eric.
Hey, I have loads of friends, and they're all here for a party I'm having after the podcast.
And you'd be like, "Will you be my friend?"
I have lots of friends.
Friends of the end.
Although this is a little background for our listeners, I asked Eric, not, you know, maybe a couple of days ago, if he would be Justin's friend at the end, and he said no.
Yes, I noticed that. It has been noticed.
Yeah, well, do you blame me because you bully me so much? Why would I hang around with a bully? Sake.
Just because I mentioned about that film that Toya plays an ape and poos on the floor.
Oh, is that the one?
Yeah, that's the one, yeah.
Okay. I haven't seen it yet, but she doesn't poo on the floor.
She does. I was watching, reading Empire magazine. My dad gave me some back issues. And
do you believe everything you read in Empire magazine?
Well, I believe it when they say the mini review and it says Toya craps on the floor. So, but she's playing an ape, isn't she? Well, she's playing a human ape.
Well, apparently there's no English dialogue in the movie at all. Everyone speaks in sort of ape-like grunts and stuff.
Yeah, so it's not beyond the realm of reasons that she'd crap on the floor, is it? But anyway, I wonder what next she's going to, possibly Shakespeare.
Susie did a wee on live television.
Yeah, no, Eric, sorry, that's
on top of the pop, in the middle of a Top of the Pops, she just squatted down and did a wee.
No, that's not true.
She did. No. Why don't you Google that, Justin?
Well, I would, but you wouldn't find anything anyway. Let's just gloss over Toya doing a poo in a film and the dizzy heights of her film stardom. I'll get on to some background here. I think you've covered most of it, but just to sort of mention, Catherine Hicks was also in the in another pint size slasher with Death Valley, where she was with her kid, I can't remember his name, little blonde kid, but being chased by a serial killer, so a slasher from 1982. Dina Manoff, who's played Maggie, who was her best friend, the kind of babysitter, she's probably best remembered for Grease. She was in Grease. one of the excise scenes apparently was Chris Sarandon was dressed in drag at the beginning of the movie, which was cut out. But it says that if you watch it, you can see him dropping a dress at the beginning of the movie to try and catch the killer, Chucky. Well, when it goes on to be Chucky, which kind of brings to mind another slash movie that we've covered yet, another one from 1982, Double Exposure, which starts with a policeman dressed in drag trying to catch a serial killer. I think pretty much covered sort of everything else, really. I'm trying to think if there's anything. I've got a bit more background for part two, and kind of interesting observation and a bit of an in-joke. I wonder if any of you have picked up. But do you want to go straight into part two?
Sure.
Or would you like to? I mean, we can talk a bit more about Child's Play in context of part two, but I think it kind of, as it's a direct continuation, really, isn't it? As in with Halloween and Halloween 2, Child's Play 2 is a direct continuation of the first film. So here's the trailer for Child's Play 2.
Mm-hmm. Jack. Chucky's back.
How's it hanging, Phil?
Child's Play 2.
Peek-a-boo!
He's the original. He'll take your breath away. This fall, Chucky rules.
Did you miss me, Andy? I sure missed you.
Child's Play 2. Keep an eye out for it.
Chucky's back. The notorious killer doll with the satanic smile comes back to life in this new chapter depicting the terrifying struggle between young Andy Barclay and the demonic doll attempting to possess his soul. Despite being roasted to a crisp in his last escapade, Chucky rises from the ashes after being reconstructed by a toy factory to dispel the negative publicity surrounding the doll. Back in one piece, Chucky tracks his prey to a foster home where the chase begins again in this fiendishly clever sequel to the enormously popular original Child's Play. Okay, Child's Play 2. I don't think I like this film as much as the first. In fact, I'm kind of on the fence whether to recommend it or not. I think the problem here is that it's not as playful as the first one. It's a little more, you know, I guess a little more mean-spirited, which is not necessarily a bad thing. But I think what it's missing is that kind of element of Andy having kind of a confidant in, like, his mother character. I think that's missing. I mean, everyone is pretty much just kind of mean to him. So, you know, in the original, he kind of had that element of, you know, his mother didn't believe him at first, but once she and the, you know, the detective believed him, he had that kind of, I guess it's kind of that group dynamic of, let's, you know, fight the evil kind of going on, which I kind of enjoyed in the first film. Here, it's just, he's just kind of this outsider. I mean, I guess it's a fresh twist, you know, not to repeat the first film, but I don't know, I guess I was kind of missing that a little bit. I don't find the characters here as, you know, likable as the characters in the original film, you know, especially the foster parents, who I find kind of, you know, more so the dad character, just kind of, you know, unpleasant to watch.
Well, I mean, what about Mrs. Catterwell?
Anyway, yeah, I mean, this has a lot of great set pieces and, you know, a lot of gags. You know, I love the bit in the car with a. When Chucky, you know, basically hitches a ride to the foster home with that guy who works at the toy company. I love the fact that the guy is just offering him money. He can clearly see it's a doll. He's like, here, I got a gold card. You can take it. So, you know, Chucky's going to go on a spending spree with his $500 credit limit. And I thought that could have been funny. But I don't know. This one definitely has more murders, more gore effects. So it's a little more over the top. You know, sequels have to kind of up the ante there. So I enjoyed that. But I don't know. I think Tom Holland, his direction was a lot better, you know, more sure-footed. The tone was just right in the original. It was not as kind of jokey. This is obviously not as jokey as, say, you know, The Bride of Chucky or Seed of Chucky. But this is kind of the beginning of the end, as far as I'm concerned, where the comedy was, you know, becoming more prevalent than the actual, you know, terror in these films. So I don't think it strikes the right balance of, you know, if I'm just giving my opinion on the film. It's not a bad film. It's, you know, it's really well made. But I don't know. This might be the one, you know, series of films where it just kind of, you know, some of them kind of, you know, they either progress into better films like Friday the 13th, Or they just kind of, you know, hit a wall, you know, very early on, or just kind of crumble past that wall. And I think the Child's Play series, you know, it really does that, you know, starting with the first sequel. I don't think I can recommend it as a great film. I mean, it's an okay one watch for me, but I don't know. I definitely prefer the first film, you know, a lot more. What about you, Justin?
Well, as I mentioned, I was looking forward to seeing this film a little bit more because I hadn't seen it for such a long time. I actually forgot it had Jenny Agutter in it, with her kind of slightly strange accent, wasn't it? She was British one minute, then American the next. It's one of those kind of weird transatlantic accents that kind of comes and goes. I felt the film, it felt a bit flat to me. It felt almost like a TV movie sequel for much of its running time. From my understanding, without getting into a huge amount of background, it was kind of they obviously moved studio and they cut, the budget was cut for this, or for budgetary reasons, they left out things, including Chris Sarandon's character, and possibly Catherine Hicks as well. But so for a lot of the, considering how spectacular in correlative terms the end of the movie is in the toy factory, which looked like it cost a lot of money to put together, it felt that the scope of the film wasn't big enough for a sequel, if that makes sense. That most, you know, the whole kind of rules of the slasher movie that Scream made so much mileage out of, you know, just 6 years later, was, you know, the sequel's going to be bigger and bloodier and gorier, and in some ways it is, but it just feels in that the, you know, the kind of the foster home that Andy gets sent to with the other girl, well, I can't remember her name now, the one that
Catherine Elise.
That's right, and she's playing. I looked her up. Christine Elise. Okay, but she was playing like a teenager, but she was in real life about 26, and she's very likable enough. I think she's quite a good like kind of final girl type kind of heroine. But it felt almost too small scale. You've got Jenny Egerton and her husband, and then just the two kids in this massive, great foster home. And I agree. You know, with Eric, I think it's you, Eric, wasn't it? Was it Joseph said that missing the Catherine Hicks, the kind of confidant? Because we already know that Chucky's going to come back to life. So this whole kind of whole "Izzy, isn't he" kind of thing, and like all the adults and people not believing Andy again, just seems a little bit rote, a little bit kind of done by this point. There's some bits where the film really comes alive. I really like the bits where she finds the good guy buried in the backyard, and she's killed, or Chucky's bumped off Jenny Egerton's character and sort of tied her up upstairs, and she's being chased around her bedroom. That works as a good suspense sort of sequence. And also the end in the toy factory has almost like a Tim Burton-esque kind of grotesqueness, kind of, you know, childhood meets grotesque horror about it. But it kind of, you get into the point now where the difference with the first film was that it was kind of played it straight. With this one, you could see that moving into kind of comic book violence in some ways, like when the guy gets the Chucky's eyes shoved, gets his throat slashed and he falls backwards and gets his gets Chucky's eyes on that machine pushed into his eyeballs, and it kind of it becomes that kind of a comic book kind of violence. It becomes, you know, it resonates less because it's sillier, but of course that's what, you know, you can't take too seriously a film about a killer doll, can you? I mean, it's not, I don't think it was ever meant to be the most serious film or franchise in the world, and obviously they get more and more bizarre as they go on, which, to be honest, I can't really see where else they would have gone with this, because they could have just kept on remaking the same movie over and over and over again. But I think it probably did need to kind of take full advantage of moving into the absurdities and the extreme, which it did in the later sequels. I liked it well enough, but it's not an essential film by any stretch. I think from what I remember, Child's Play 3 is even less. Is that Child's Play 3 more dour? Is that kind of, that's one set in a military school, isn't it?
Yeah, I wouldn't say it's more dour. Well, it's duller, I would
duller.
Say.
Okay, well, maybe duller. But I haven't seen.
I like Child's Play 3 probably more than this one, but okay. I won't get into that.
Yeah, I just think it could have done with more maybe some of the budget being used. They seem to have spent it all on the final scene, and then if they'd kind of had a little bit more kind of slightly more expansive kind of feel to the film in some of the sections, which just felt kind of dragged a little. And also I like the, you know, scenes like the teacher being killed, although I do wonder, you know, how you kind of whack somebody to death with a wooden ruler. It does sort of make me wonder, because he kind of stabs her, doesn't he, with a pen or something, and then he's whacking her to death with a ruler, which I thought...
You didn't have any of those instances in parochial school, Justin?
What, being whacked with a ruler?
Yeah. Well, that's what Catholic people do, that, don't they?
Well, yeah, but I can't see how would you beat someone to death with one. It would take a very long time.
Yeah.
So, but anyway, I mean, yeah, it's kind of, again, I don't want to piss on the parade, but I just don't, it's not, the Child's Play movies aren't my favourite franchise, as I've said before, and I'll probably say again. But it was a fun watch. I liked the movie well enough in the last half an hour, but I felt it was kind of, it basically was a continuation, the same way as Halloween 2 is a continuation of the original Halloween. But I like that more. I wanted more of that continuation, whereas this felt like it was just like a bit of a rerun, really, and you're just substituting, Catherine Hicks, Jenny Agutter, and it was just kind of going through the motions again until you got to the grand climax. So, yeah, it's okay, but again, not something that I would return to anytime soon, I don't think.
Yeah, I think we're in agreement there. But Nathan, what do you think?
I love Child's Play 2.
Shocker.
I mean, I might actually like it a little more than the first one, not in a way that it's a better movie. Well, let me explain. It's not that I think it's a better made film. I just think it's much more cheesy, and I prefer, like cheesy films in general, I kind of get what you guys are saying. It's kind of been there, done that nobody believes Andy and all this stuff. And I did kind of feel like that was, one part of the movie where I was like, I don't know. It'd been nice, I guess, to see something a little different. But I mean, this has Mrs. Catterwell, and I really like that character. And I love her name.
Is that the woman from Seinfeld?
Who was she in Seinfeld?
Mrs. Ross? Who was Mrs. Catterwell? Is she the teacher or the
Mrs. Catterwell's the teacher.
Yeah, okay. That's, never mind, different actress. Okay.
She gets beat to death with a yardstick.
Yeah, that's a
pretty bad way to go.
Beth Grant, she was also in Speed.
Oh, yeah. But, Justin said, like, I love the finale. I thought this Chucky went out, I guess, kind of better in the second one than he did in the first one. The way that he, I guess, quote unquote, died in this one. I think it's a fun movie. And I really like Christina Lise in it as Kyle. Interesting name. But, I give it 2 thumbs up. I mean, what else can you say? It's great.
One thing before I was going to mention before I pass this over to Eric is I think they kind of missed an opportunity in the Toy Factory where, you see all these dolls being put together. If they were going for more of the kind of comical overload here, I think they missed an opportunity with having a scene where Chucky gets kind of – gets a Jason X treatment of being upgraded. I thought that would have been kind of amusing, but they kind of missed an opportunity there. I mean, but at this point they weren't going full on comedy, but they were kind of, slowly getting there. So I thought, maybe if they were going to go all out in the, at least in the finale, they should have done something like that. That would have been kind of funny. But, Eric, what do you think of Child's Play 2?
Well, this will amaze you, but I'm actually siding with Nathan on this one. Because I really like Child's Play 2. And I think it's pretty much on a par with the original. Possibly because it, as you were, like, your complaint is that it doesn't do anything new and it just feels like a retread. But that to me is why it probably works as well as the original for me. It's because they don't try anything new, really. And it's there's so many slasher sequels we've watched that don't try anything new and yet we love. It does all the same stuff. It has, nobody believes Andy's story of the doll that comes to life. He's blamed for all the early mayhem.
That's true. Thanks for your opinion, Eric. Thanks.
And I have to agree. I think that for me, my love for Child's Play 2 is all based on the finale because I think it's brilliant. All that stuff set in the factory at the end is amazing. The factory set looks like a kid's TV show. It has all these sort of day-glow colors and levers and stuff. It reminds me of the Pat Sharp program Funhouse, Justin, if you remember that from the 80s.
Yeah.
It was kind of set in a similar type of thing. As you say, the demise, in inverted commas, of Chucky is really spectacular in this. It's gooey and
there's a scene where he has to rip off his own hand and replace it with a blade, which is in quite a gruesome effect, which reminded me of, I wonder if it was a deliberate nod to Evil Dead 2, where Ash has to do the same thing, but replacing his stump, on the stump, he puts a chainsaw instead. And then sort of Chucky being melted down was, I don't know, it predates Terminator 2 and Alien 3, as far as I know. So they're all ripping off Child's Play 2, really. But the scene where he's getting all the liquid plastic poured over him kind of looked Bukkake style. Did anyone pick up on it? No?
Well, only you, leave it to you to pick up on it. Yeah.
But again, I mean, I wouldn't say any of the Child's Play films are essential watches for me. Like Justin was saying, they don't have the rewatchability factor of Friday the 13th or any of those that, for me personally. But again, I do have to say that anytime I watch Child's Play, I do find it entertaining. I only watch them every 5 or 6 years or so. The animatronics in this one are incredible. They're probably even better than the first film. So for me, I mean, it's weird that I'm siding with Nathan when Nathan is the voice of dissent amongst the four of us usually, but I'm going to side this time. I love Child's Play 2. Love maybe is a bit strong, but I do really like it. I thought it was really enjoyable and every much an equal with the first one. I do think that the quality drops with part three, but one and two I do like equally. Two thumbs up.
Mm. Sounds like your normal Saturday night, Eric.
Two thumbs up?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm.
I've heard stories.
And a cucumber.
Well, exactly. Very, very accommodating, I hear. You're very accommodating.
I myself prefer a big, fat cucumber.
Indeed.
Is that the line? So,
it is, isn't it? From
Killer Party.
Killer Party, that's the one. Yeah. So is that everyone's tuppence on Child's Play 2?
Oh, can we talk about Andy's haircut? Because total pudding bowl, Bill.
Yeah, he gets more mop top in this one.
He does. It's even more of a mop top in part two. I didn't think that style was still in vogue. He has kind of an Alice from Friday the 13th type mop on his head.
Mm. One thing I think they kind of, another, you know, I was talking about how I kind of would have liked to have seen Chucky kind of, you know, upgraded in the finale. I think another opportunity they kind of missed out on here is, you know, early in the film, Chucky replaces the Tommy doll. He buries it out in the yard. I thought they could have played on, you know, more of is it Tommy or is it Chucky? I thought that would kind of added a little more suspense, which I think is kind of sorely lacking in this film, whereas the first one's got a lot of good suspenseful set pieces. I think this one's more kind of maudlin, you know, through the first 45, 50 minutes of all the family drama. Like, this boy, you know, he's got trouble. I thought, you know, kind of playing off of it's Tommy, no, it's Chucky, kind of would have kind of given it a shot in the arm it kind of needed.
Mm.
I thought the character of Andy was more likable in this film because he's not in the first one. He has a line where he has to go, "Hi, I'm Andy. What's your name?" And it just grates on me so much. But that's,
are you? Did you give him the lessons there, Eric?
I did actually. I'm his
elocution
vocal coach.
Lessons.
Yeah,
that was uncanny. Actually, yeah,
I know. And then thankfully that's missing in part two. He's more, I suppose, more grown up after the experiences, the traumatic experiences of part one. Mm. But I found it more likable in this one. I do love Justin mentioned this. I love the fact that it continues on more or less from the point where part one left off. I love when sequels do that. And I love that opening sequence where the nerdy toy factory guy is offed in the car on his way to buy vodka.
If you think about it, I mean, this film kind of puts a sour note on the original because, obviously, the two detectives and the mother believe him in the original, but in the kind of didactic opening, they're like, the mother's in a psych ward because the cops, you know, basically said, oh, we don't believe you. So did they just recant their statement of what happened? I mean, what an asshole thing to do to the poor child.
Mm. Yeah.
I'll tell you one little thing I just I noticed in the film. I don't know if it was a nod, because obviously the film takes place in Chicago, was that towards the end, where there's a scene where they kind of there's a Chicago Sun Tribune, I think it's a or Sun Times, sorry, truck gets stopped, and of course that was the paper that employed Roger Ebert as a critic. So I don't know what his. I didn't get a chance to look up to see what he thought the Child's Play movies.
He loved Child's Play 1. I don't think either he or Siskel liked Child's Play 2. I don't think Siskel liked the original Child's Play either, but Roger Ebert loved the original Child's Play.
Did he? Okay. I just wondered if it was maybe a nod or a dig at him to or a little tribute to him to have that in there. Maybe just completely coincidental, but I thought if they were going to have, you know, because it was based in Chicago, and to actually have that in there, I thought it was a nice touch.
Yeah.
I love the opening montage as well, where they're cleaning up Chucky.
Yeah, that's well done, isn't it?
Yeah, I like that scene a lot, actually. I kind of like in films where, I don't like them to explain the evil too much, but I kind of like to see kind of, I guess you call it, behind the scenes of putting the evil together. You know, not too much, but I think they did a good job here.
Although it doesn't really actually, I mean, why did they do that? Why did they reconstruct him?
I know. I think
the idea was basically they were going to kind of get a better sense of, you know, the chipset inside the doll to make sure that nothing was kind of off about it.
They didn't need to reconstruct the whole doll, though, did they?
I guess they did. But what I find silly is just if his soul was destroyed in the original film, I guess, you know.
An otherwise perfectly enjoyable film was ruined by an unrealistic reconstruction of Chucky at the start.
I guess like Friday the 13th Part 6, I guess lightning brings the soul back.
It does.
Yeah, okay. Mm-hmm. Or electricity. Electricity, yeah. But no, I do prefer the first one a lot more. This one's, yeah, I could watch the first one a little more than just once, but this one, I feel like I've seen it. I don't really need to see it again.
You've just got no joy in your heart.
No, not this That's morning. All. It's too cold here.
All right. Well, shall we get on to some background then? Who would like to go first?
Sure. Nathan. Oh, God.
No.
No. Okay, I'll go. Earlier, I was talking about how Catherine Hicks met Kevin Yeager on the set of Child's Play. So, you know, despite not reprising her role here, she was constantly on set to see her husband, who obviously operated the anatomic Chucky doll. I think Justin mentioned this. Chris Sarandon was originally going to reprise his role as Detective Mike Norris from the first film, but his scenes were cut from the film due to budgetary issues. I guess they couldn't afford him. Chucky appeared in a tuxedo at the 1990 Horror Hall of Fame Awards to advertise the theatrical release of Child's Play 2. He was introduced by Robert Englund, who plays Freddy Krueger, by the way, from Nightmare on Elm Street. Yeah, he's the guy that has knives for fingers. And in one film,
I think I've seen one of those. Yeah,
one film, the girl turns into a giant cockroach. But anyway,
does she have big hair?
Yeah.
Oh, I think I've seen that one. Yeah.
Pretty decent little film there. Apparently, this one opened as the number one film at the box office upon its release. Here's a little interesting tidbit. In the later seasons of Seinfeld, in which Grace Zabriskie, who plays Grace Poole here, played Mrs. Ross in the Seinfeld films, you can always see a copy of Child's Play 2 on one of Jerry's shelves in his apartment, where he keeps all his VHS tapes. That's pretty much all the background I have. What about you two fine feathered gentlemen?
Okay, well, this was directed by John Lafia, who was one of the writers of the original Child's Play. He'd wanted to direct the original movie, but they didn't want to go with an untried director, so they chose Tom Holland for that instead, who incidentally had done Fright Night. I don't know if he'd mentioned that before. So they promised him a sequel if one was warranted, and when they greenlit a sequel, they gave him the gig. He went on to direct the Ali Sheedy movie, the killer dog movie, Man's Best Friend, in 1992 or 3. Mm. And if you want to hear my opinions on that film, you can tune in to the most recent Retro Movie Podcast with Meep. That was what we discussed. Oh. Yeah, I cheated on you.
Scab.
Yeah.
Traitor!
And we also discussed Galaxy of Terror, which stars Grace Brisky as well. So there you go. John Lafia had trouble getting scared reactions out of Alex Vincent, so he took some unusual methods, like setting off a bullhorn in his ear to scare him, which is kind of a William Friedkin type of thing to do. Mm. John Lafia was originally set to direct An American Werewolf in Paris, which was the awesome sequel to An American Werewolf in London, which we all know and love. I saw it at the time, but I can't remember if I remember it being okay and not as bad as the reviews suggest. Am I wrong? No.
I saw it again recently, and it's not as bad as I remember. I saw it at cinema, and I know we watched it on DVD Blu-ray about 6 months ago, and it was the CGI effects kind of really date it, but it's not as bad as people remember, I don't think.
Christina Lise, who plays Kyle in the movie, and I'm wondering if that was a nod to Kyle Reese in Terminator, because the film does have a Terminator-style ending. Well, Terminator 2-style ending, which it predates, so I don't know. Anyway, she was in Beverly Hills 90210 as the psychotic Emily Valentine. She was the Brandon's girlfriend, and she spiked his drink with euphoria, which was this kind of E-like drug, and Brandon wasn't happy. And then she burned their school float. There you go.
What a psycho.
She was a psycho, and then she moved to San Francisco. Hmm. I think Brandon gave her one at some stage. I think he lost his virginity to her, actually.
Gosh.
I'd have to rewatch. Anyway, the film opened on November the 9th, 1990. As Joseph said, it went into the top spot. It knocked Jacob's Ladder off the top spot. Jacob's Ladder is a film I don't like. I know everyone thinks it's brilliant, but I think it's overrated. That's off the point. Home Alone then knocked Child's Play 2 off the top spot the following week. If you look on YouTube, there's 13 minutes of deleted scenes from Child's Play 2. Most of them, are scene extensions or alternate takes. But one of the most interesting ones was there's an alternate ending where after Andy and Kyle come out of the factory at the end, it goes back inside and shows pieces of Chucky in this big vat of molten plastic. And he's melted down and his head is reconstructed. And you can see the head sort of... smile in an evil manner, setting up Child's Play 3. I haven't watched Child's Play 3 in a while, but at the start of that, don't they do the same type of thing where you see Chucky being melted down and reconstructed?
I believe so.
Yeah, but they sort of, before that, they'd done it with an alternate ending for Child's Play 2. So that's how it was originally going to end. I think, on TV versions, like on the Sci-Fi Channel, they use the alternate ending, apparently. And that's all I have. Justin.
Okay, well, thank you. You've covered most of it, but did we mention the novelization of the book, of the film, sorry?
No.
No, apparently there was a novelization. I've never
seen it. The novelization of the book. Sorry, I just mentioned it there now. Sorry, Justin.
Oh, well, thank you very much. Of the film, you mean, Eric?
Whatever.
Yeah. By somebody called Matthew J. Costello, and apparently added in some extra scenes, because I would say it would have been a quite short book, I imagine. So added some background to Andy and Chucky's past. And it says, I mean, where I got this from, it's talking about Chucky's background, about Chucky having a dwarf mother. But obviously Chucky's not real, so I presume whoever wrote this meant it was the serial killer's sort of background, real background. So I've not seen that. The only other thing I saw was that some of the scenes, it's a bit like in I Know We Did Last Summer, when they used the cop car scene in, I think, in Scream 2, wasn't it? That they didn't, that it was written for I Know What You Did Last Summer, and they couldn't film it for whatever reason. And so there were a number of scenes, including the murder of the teacher and also the Toy Factory showdown, was originally part of the script for part one, but was used in this one instead. And again, I think I mentioned that Chris Sarandon was meant to be coming back for this, but didn't for budgetary reasons. And also Catherine Hicks, forgive me if you already mentioned this, but was supposed to start the film in a courtroom scene and didn't. But again, did we mention, obviously we mentioned that she fell in love and married Kevin Yeager, didn't she, on the set of the first one, or on the set on this one, I think it was.
I don't think we mentioned that twice.
What's strange, it was that she was on set all the time. Because she was
and Joseph mentioned that as well.
Oh, did he? I wasn't listening. So anyway, I'm just repeating that. So just like this film's repeating Child's Play 1, it's repeating. So can't blame me for that. Yeah, so it's meta. It's meta, Eric. Yeah, thank you. So that's the kind of Child's Play. I mean, I kind of can't imagine we'll be in a rush to watch Child's Play 3 or cover that anytime soon. I mean, we should mention that this is a listener pick, isn't it? And is it one of the Alishans, I believe?
It's the slightly less pesky Ara Alishan.
Okay. Well, it'd be interesting to find out whether or not, because it seems like we're kind of neatly split down the middle, which again is like Eric on most Friday nights, is on this movie. So whereas that, obviously, well, it's the whole franchise, really. Although I'm kind of probably the bit of a, Debbie Downer on the franchise.
Such Debbie Downer.
Yeah.
You're a Judy Attitude-y.
but yeah, so if you did enjoy this movie or the Child Play series, and you think, do you think Nathan's right or an Eric's right, or do you think I'm right? Of course, obviously I'm right. But write in.
You're wrong.
And let us know. So this is how to get in contact with the show.
Listen to The Hysteria Continues on iTunes, like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, and subscribe to us on YouTube. You can email us directly at thehysteriacontinues@gmail.com. Keyword, The Hysteria Continues.
Oh my God, is that a new jingle?
It's been up there for like... Yeah, it's been up there for like the past three episodes, but we always talked during it for some odd reason.
Oh, there you go. So, well,
or we were drunk during it the last time.
Yeah, we wouldn't. We were too busy. You're too busy flashing your bits. All right. Well, before we get on to that, let's just mention a couple of the commentaries we've done. As you guys probably know, we've done commentaries for Arrow's release, the Steelbook of The Burning, which is a great deal of fun, and also The Initiation, which both of those are out, although I think the Steelbook has sold out, but I think I'm pretty sure that a regular version is going to be released in December, I think.
Yeah, so, I heard it's around Christmas for
And we're getting quite a few good reviews. I think the good reviews outweigh the negatives, don't they? There's a few negative Nellies out there, but you know, you can't please all the people all the time, can you?
So there's lots of positive Peters, though.
Exactly. So those are fun ones to do, and hopefully we'll be doing some more. And I think we will be, as I mentioned last time, and there's any reason not to mention it now, that we've done a commentary for Happy Birthday to Me, which is going to be released in November, I believe. Well, actually, it must be...
It's by Powerhouse, isn't it?
By Powerhouse, yeah. So that's coming up.
Sounds like an 80s hair metal band.
It does, yes. So that's going to be a really good...
the hills, Eric. Dream Warriors.
Well, that's going to be hopefully going to be... Well, I'm sure it will be a very good release. It's actually getting a decent release on Blu-ray finally, rather than just being sort of dumped onto a double bill with A Stranger Calls, which of course is a great movie as well. But it's nice to see Happy Birthday to Me getting special treatment it deserves. So, and hopefully we'll have some more lined up for the new year. But we can't talk about that, so we're not going to talk about that. But let's get on to some feedback. I mean, have people been raving about the Drunkcast?
I believe so. Okay. Basically, from what I understand, is everyone loved it and they want more. Specifically, as it pertains to reviewing Rob Zombie's Halloween films, they think we should be drunk when we do that. And
that's
the
only way we can do it.
Yeah, that's the only way I could do it.
Yeah. Did we have a feedback kind of on the boards on the Facebook page on Child's Play? Did we have a?
Yes, we do.
Do you want to? Would you like to read some of that out?
Sure. Let's see. Warren Money says, saw them both on release. Brad Dourif knocked it out of the park as both Charles Lee Ray and the voice of Chucky. The first one was stylish, slick, and brought a wonderful sense of fun that was part and parcel of late 80s horror films. Always sad that Marty Maraschino, I guess that's his name, like as in Cherry, bit the dust out of the window. Who is he talking about? Because her name is Maggie. He's saying Marty.
Hmm.
And it's Dina Madoff. Anyway.
It is Charles Play he's talking about, yes?
No, yeah, he's just upset. Marty's just in her character in Grease.
Oh.
Okay. Oh, that's it. Yeah.
I don't remember Grease. I'm not a fan of Grease. So, anyway.
The Neutron Bomb and John Travolta.
I hate musicals. Anyway, worst babysitting job this side of Detroit. I'm in the minority in thinking only the first three are any good. We had the rise of the video nasty here in Australia when the third one came out near the Bulger case in England. Looking back, the film can be considered a bit cheesy, but that's why I still love it. Saw the second one at the drive-in. Wasn't a bad sequel, just a bit forgettable. I still always check the back seat in case Chucky is there. Nicely called back by Brad Dourif himself in Urban Legend. I forgot to mention that. I bet Nathan prefers part two, LOL. Cheers, fellas. Best podcast on... best podcast on Slasher without doubt.
I've become predictable.
That was Warren Currency, or Warren Money.
Huh.
Let's see.
The Anton Tawarin credit card.
Yeah. His gold card that, you know, he offers Chucky. Drew Russell says, Child's Play 2 is my favorite of the series and a perfect blend of comedy and horror. It's also the ideal Chucky film. Killer dolls are most effective in environments associated with adolescence, making the classroom scene and the sequence in the Good Guy Factory particularly creepy and creative. The sequel felt like what screenwriter and Chucky creator Don Mancini was attempting with his original draft of the first film's screenplay before it was tampered with. The original is well-crafted, showcases some genuine suspense and truly shocking moments like the battery scene, but in retrospect, some elements seem out of place, like Chucky seeking revenge on his partner in crime. Wasn't Charles Lee Ray a serial strangler? What strangler has an accomplice? How did Eddie Caputo assist him? Hold his victims down while he strangled them? And why didn't Eddie have a single line of dialogue? Also, the scene with the voodoo doll was a bit of a stretch in logic and alleviated some of the tension the film had established so well. Both films are highlights in the series, but Part 2 takes the blood-spattered cake. My personal ranking from best to worst, Child's Play 2, Bride of Chucky, Curse of Chucky, Child's Play, then Child's Play 3, and then Seed of Chucky. That was Drew Russell. Brennan Klein says, I love all the Child's Play movies, but I feel like I'm in a minority for thinking the original is one of the weaker entries. I just can't stomach so much crime thriller in my slasher movie. I'd much rather watch a doll stalking a family rather than putting a hit on Jimmy the Squealer or whatever the hell it is Chucky does in the first film. Child's Play 2 is just pure 90s horror fun. And I want to be Kyle when I grow up. That scene in the basement still kind of freaks me out. Ara Alishan, who chose this double bill, says, your listeners certainly have impeccable taste. Okay, so maybe this was my pick, but you have to admit Child's Play 1 and 2 pack a mean 1-2 punch. It probably doesn't hurt that I had a thing for Christine Elise, but what can I say? I absolutely love everything about these movies. I only wish I could say the same about the rest of the franchise. Da-da-da-da-da. Bob Hartshorn. I like that last name. That's an interesting last name. He says, with the exception of entry number 3, I have a lot of time for the Chucky franchise, and these two in particular are a whole lot of fun. Love the fact that they're really very, very silly, but played poker straight enough to reel you into the drama, whilst artfully retaining the light entertainment factor. Your friend to the end is obviously the standout, but everything around him is a joy too. If push comes to shove, I'd have to say Child's Play 2 is the better film. What is wrong with these people? What with it?
They're
slightly...
correct. That's what's wrong with them.
No, they're not. What with its slightly wonkier story trajectory and knockout Toy Factory finale? But they're still both win-win-wins for me. Two plastic thumbs up. Interesting. Ben Harris says, I love the first three Child's Play movies. They were good fun. One and two are the better entries. The later sequels were a bit too camp for me, even if Jennifer Tilly is sexy as hell. It's funny how the Child's Play in the UK had a tarnished name after Part 3 was banned and or removed because of the Jamie Bulger case, or Bulger, I don't know. Sometimes the panic hysteria about these movies is far more interesting than what's in the movies themselves. Hope you're all good, lads. Love the show. And then he posted a picture. It says, for sake of all our kids, burn your video nasty. Yeah.
That was a Sun headline that had a picture of Chucky, didn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sure does.
Did he post a picture?
Yeah. It's under his comment on the Facebook page. Mike Alishan says, awesome pick, Ara. Signed by Tom Holland and Alex Vincent. I love how these first two films are essentially one complete film. I'm with you on the first two films. I absolutely love them, but I enjoy some of the sequels as well, in particular Child's Play 3 and Curse of Chucky. I'm really not a big fan of Seed or Bride, though, and I just tell myself they're non-canon. Okay. Oh, here's a long one. David Carroll says, "Hey guys, I'm a new listener and I've been listening nonstop for the last week and catching up on all the episodes. You guys are extremely knowledgeable and give great information regarding all the movies you guys speak about. I'm so happy I found your podcast and it's now my favorite and will be upset once I finish all the backlog of episodes because you guys have become a part of my work day, but I feel I'll be revisiting a lot of the episodes. Now on to Child's Play, which Chucky may be my favorite slasher. I saw Child's Play 3 when I was 6 in the theater and may have been my first horror movie I saw in a theater." He's a young one. At least the first one I remember. The voice and laugh are ironic. The earlier movies have never been extremely gory apart from the deaths of Chucky, which normally crank up the violence toward him to 11. I even love the later films that teeter on the more comedic side. I really appreciate that Don Mancini has taken care of his baby and writes all the films and has even directed the last two, and I believe is directing the new one that is about to be made. It's wonderful that he has been a part of the film series since the start. Child's Play 2 may have my favorite killer deaths in any slasher. Chucky gets it real bad in the end of that film, and I loved it as a kid and still do. Speaking of that being my favorite death, have you guys ever done a top three favorite killer death scenes? I don't know. Have we?
It's so long ago since we did top three, isn't it? I can't remember.
We haven't done top three in a long time. We're talking
about 1987 here.
That's when we did the last top three, by the way.
Yeah, that's what I said. Yeah.
I apologize for asking if you have already covered that. Or I am still working through all the episodes. So if you have already done that, I'm sure I'll get to it soon. Keep up the great work, guys, and looking forward to the future of the show. He says, "Scratch my question about the top three killer deaths. Found out you did it in episode 40. Okay. Thank you. Just a couple more. Jay Bullington says, "While the rest are fun and pretty campy, they can't match the real terror of the original." Estelle Phillips says, "I think Chucky looks cute in that picture." I guess it's the picture that What's-His-Face posted. And finally, Chris Schroyer says, "What an ugly doll."
Well, we saw you posted the one of the Eric doll. Which do you think was scarier?
That wasn't even how you spelled my name.
Well, I didn't. I just came across it on the internet.
I'm sure you did come across it because you're twisted. You had to go at yourself while you were watching, looking at it.
You know what I almost did for the intro? I almost recorded a bit of me saying something and splicing it in to where I go, "Hi, I'm Eric, and I'm your friend of the end."
Well, we can always put that in the end, can't we? Another one of Eric's Saturday nights. okay. Well, thank you. Thank you, Joseph. Has anyone else got any feedback?
I do.
I do.
And thank you. By the way, thank you, everyone, for writing on the wall. It always is good to get that interaction with you, our dear listeners. But
all have feedback this episode.
Okay. Well, who wants to go first?
I'll go.
Okay. You go first, Eric.
Okay, this comes from Wales, which is, if I'm not mistaken, Justin, it's not the home of Lord Hereford's Knob.
Wales? Wales, England?
Wales.
As Cher once said when she was on stage, didn't she? She said,
who did?
I think it was Cher. I think she was in Cardiff, and she said, "Hello, Wales, England," and then got booed.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah, so as you would, but yeah.
Well, we've occasionally had musicians come to Dublin and say, "It's great to be here as part of our UK tour." Mm. And we're like, "Boo." Okay, this is Rob Hemsley. He says, "Hey guys, I'm a recent convert to your brilliant podcast, so I thought I'd write to say how much I enjoy your efforts. I've been working my way through your back episodes. When I'm out running, I do long distances, and your podcasts have become a big part of my regime, although it probably looks strange when I chuckle at your banter. God knows what passers-by think when they see someone charging towards them laughing out loud. My next marathon is in the new year. Sorry, I'll start that sentence again. I'm not even drunk this week. My next marathon in the new year don't allow headphones, though, so the only solution will be to ask the four of you to run alongside me and do the entire episode live and in person. Something like Fatal Games or Graduation Day would probably be fitting. I'll just round off by hopefully getting my very own gasp from you all by saying I don't like Friday the 13th Part 5. In brackets, he goes, "I do really. I just wanted to engineer a gasp. Hope I got one." Well, he did. Yes, you got three. I don't know if Justin gasped, though, did you?
Well, because I've always been a voice of dissent, haven't I, with Friday 13th.
Yeah. That's because you're a looper. Yeah. Keep up the good work. Keep up the banter, jokes, and cat flushing toilets, and all the very best, you big dildos. In brackets, copyright Ethel. From Rob Hemsley. And then he says, P.S. Sorry, didn't say where I'm from. I'm in North Wales and the marathon's in Chester, so I'll see you there. So are you all on for running 26 miles and doing a live podcast to accompany Rob as he does his marathon in Chester?
Sounds all right.
Eric only runs when he's chased.
Yeah.
By big hairy man.
Rob, can I just say this to you? I went for a cycle. I cycled 4K this morning, and when I got in, I thought I was going to die. So I can't see myself running 26 miles.
But what you could do is we could drive in a car, couldn't we, with like a loudspeaker out the window, like those ones you see.
That's more like it, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, tell you what, Rob, we'll get back to you on that.
Yeah. But we have already done Fatal Games and Graduation Day, so you can listen to them. Although you can't listen to them, headphones aren't allowed in this marathon for some reason.
No. We've also done a commentary for Graduation Day.
We have.
Yeah, I can't remember exactly.
Yeah, so actually it says headphones aren't allowed, but you could have somebody run in front of you with a DVD player playing Graduation Day.
Yeah.
With our commentary.
Exactly. So well, good luck with your run, Rob. Yeah. Thank you for writing in. So
better you than us.
We would like to.
Well, I know you three would probably be able to run a marathon. I certainly wouldn't.
The most I've ever run is 5 miles. I don't think I could do 26.
No, I don't think I could either.
Not in this weather, at least. It's very cold.
What I could do is I could get a fishing rod with a vodka martini on the end and strap it to my head.
That would work for you, yeah. Work. Or a Twix for me.
Exactly, that's what I was thinking.
Chunky Kitka, yeah.
And a big doobie for Nathan.
Yeah, or some rhubarb.
Or some rhubarb, yeah. I'm not sure about Joseph. What would make you run 26 miles?
Pamela Anderson. Picture of Pamela Anderson.
Why is it always Pamela Anderson? Why?
Because she's the only woman I know.
Apparently. I've never liked Pamela Anderson.
Boys used to like Pamela Anderson in the 90s. She was a big deal. I don't know who it is nowadays. Okay, like, Lady Gaga then.
She's like herpes central.
Which one?
Pamela Anderson.
Pamela Anderson.
Well, she has hepatitis B or C or something, doesn't she?
Yeah. It's all allegedly. Anyway, let's
No, it's not. It's true. She does have one of the hepatitises.
Okay. Well, thank you.
I can't take anyone seriously who willingly sleeps with Tommy Lee anyway. So.
No. So what could be put in a fishing rod that will make you run, though?
I'll have to think on that and get back to you.
Okay.
Right. Well, it's probably not going to happen. But, okay, well, Nathan, how about you? What have you got? What kind of feedback have you got for us this time?
I have one.
Mm.
It says, excuse me. It says, hey, guys, I agree with Nathan that Laurie dying in Halloween Resurrection was all a dream. And that is true. The way she died was so ridiculous, it couldn't be real. The worst part was the kiss between Laurie and Michael that they only did to try to get nominated for an MTV Best Kiss Award.
Oh.
That really seems true to me.
Yes.
I think he's right.
Wouldn't surprise me at all.
He says, for the main story, the webcast always seemed like a doomed business venture. The streaming had to suck with the monitors and internet we had back in 2002. And it seems like it was some kind of pay-per-view thing, although the only people watching were at that party and it didn't look like they paid to get access to it. Busta Rhymes, as the comic relief, wouldn't be so bad if he didn't commit the greatest sin, making fun of the villain. You can't take Michael seriously if this clown is trash-talking him.
And also trash talking him like this as well. Motherfucker.
Yeah. Goddamn ass in the kitchen. I'm playing Michael Myers. and he has a joke of the week.
Oh, shall I play the jingle?
Play the jingle.
Play the music.
Okay.
You whore.
Oh, no, here we go.
No, that's not the music.
It's my joke of the week. I'm so
okay, Tyra Banks and Michael Myers are doing a new reality show together. You guys know what it's called?
America's Next Top Psycho.
You're close. America's Next Top Maniac.
Oh.
I wonder if it's going to get
Who is the crying woman, by the way?
I don't know. I just all I've got it down is sobbing.
That was from Scott Plissken.
Well, thank you, Scott Plissken. Well, maybe that can be a regular feature. You can write in with your jokes, and we'll pick the best or the worst one. Because Eric no longer does them. He's above that.
Well,
now.
I do occasionally if I think of it, but
he thinks he's too good for us now.
I am. Eric, like being on the Retro Movie Podcast.
Yeah, Eric's like Mariah.
Well, I was treated properly.
I know you're a bit like Mariah. You won't do stairs, will you?
No.
Or jokes. So, shall I go next? As I haven't read anything out for a little while. Okay, this is from Doug from Slasher Movie Blu-ray blogspot.co.uk, who says, "Hi everyone, the hysteria continues. I just wanted to drop you all a quick thumbs up." Oh, there's lots of thumbs going up, you know, again, like Eric's usual weekend. "On the recent Initiation Blu-ray commentary track, Arrow really knocked it out of the park with the quality of the disc, and your fun and informative commentary is icing on the cake. Do you have many more commentary tracks coming in the future?" Well, we mentioned The Burning, and also Happy Birthday to Me. We do have some on the horizon. I have a solo one coming up as well. I told you boys about, but I'm sworn
cheater, to cheater.
Well, I'll tell you after the podcast, but. And it says, "I was wondering if Justin's outstanding Teenage Wasteland book would ever make it to a digital, i.e. Kindle and whatnot. I have the book already and truly love it, but having it available when I'm out and about would be great." I would love to do that. I think I mentioned before, the people who published the book no longer publish it, are no longer publishing in the UK. But I'm due to write to the American publishers, and it's something I have suggested in the past, so it's something I'd like to do. And obviously, there's been a lot of slasher movies since the book came out, so I could do an update on that. But yes, so watch that space. He says, "The Drunk Cast was a hoot. I love the idea of doing Rob Zombie's Halloweens that way. That's the only way we could do them. Top three slasher movies you would only consider reviewing if drunk that aren't directed by Rob Zombie. What other films would we have to be drunk to review, do you think?"
Well, I think there's one listener pick coming up soon.
Oh yes,
that may require alcohol.
Ooh. I've yet to watch it, but I hear it's awful.
Oh, is this begins with an A?
Yep.
And ends in an M. Mm,
yep.
Okay. Yes.
Right. Well, yes, that could be that. But that I'm quite looking forward to watching that because it sounds so bad. It might be quite a fun one to riff off. But yes, that was from Doug, again, from Slasher Movie Blu-ray.blogspot.co.uk. So thank you, Doug, and check out his website.
Do it, Doug!
So is the last one you've got, Joseph, you've got one more for us, have you?
Yes.
Okay.
Although I'm afraid to read it. Hold on. Okay. This is from Tony Hartman, a.k.a. Kodiak Jack, he says... 1. Nathan, I want to read your Tombstone Mountain series. Is there a way the world can get a hold of these obscure masterpieces? Nathan?
Well, there's a ton of echo going on, but I don't have any online. But if, you know, I might could post them, but they're pretty terrible. Worse than the movies I made. Imagine that.
That sounds delightful.
That sounds sarcastic.
What? No, honestly. Oh, Nathan, it's
because my lawnmower is stolen big by a fucking kid.
God bless you, rhubarb lady.
Thank you. That was one of my finest moments.
Number 2, he says, I was listening to some older episodes and there was something I noticed and completely forgot. In every intro, you guys inserted Laurie Strode's boogeyman line in a random spot. It always gave me a chuckle. I think it's time to bring back that wonderful Easter egg. I don't remember when we stopped doing that. It was around the 20th episode, maybe. I don't know.
I think it was. I did it originally because when we originally did them, we didn't do intros specific only to the movie. It was more of a generalized intro with sound clips from lots of slasher movies because obviously we didn't know it would be quite so long running, the you know, series of podcasts. I mean, I think we thought we'd probably, well, I don't know how long we thought we'd go on for, but originally it was probably with, I kind of envisaged we'd probably just kind of do the top tier 80 slash movies and then leave it at that. But obviously it's grown into a monster, hasn't it, really? Our own little monster.
Yes, it has.
Like Toya Wilcox.
Anyway.
Like what?
No, nothing. Carry on.
I only heard the very tail end of that. You said like Toya. So...
Anyway. Anyway. I knew Justin was going to do that, by the way. Anyway, he says, love the episode on Halloween Resurrection. I'm glad people are warming up to its silliness. It's one of my favorites to watch in a group. Anyway, keep it up. Keep up the goodness. See ya. That's Tony Hartman, a.k.a. Kodiak Jack.
Okay, well, thank you, Tony, a.k.a. Kodiak Jack, and everyone else who wrote in. Always lovely to hear from you. But we also have some voicemails, don't we?
Yeah. And I also, before you play, well, after you play the voicemails, I have three more clues for the game.
Oh, okay. Ooh. Well, should I play the first voicemail? Here is the first one. And I haven't listened to these, so no idea what they're going to say.
Hey, guys. My name is Jay, sometimes called the Haunt Cub. I live in Delaware, Maryland, the city of Bear. And I just wanted to call in and say howdy. I love your show. I'm actually a pretty brand new listener. I've started at the beginning at number one, and I'm working my way up. Although I did listen to a couple of shows out of order just to see if it was kind of my thing. I am old enough to have watched a lot of these movies when they went directly to DVD, or actually VHS at the time, in the early 80s in high school. So unfortunately, at this age, I don't really remember a lot of them. So there's a lot of movies you've also covered that I've never heard of or never seen, but I'm enjoying listening to each one anyway. And it's actually made me go back and search for some of them just to check them out. Anyway, I just wanted to let you know my appreciation for all the hard work you guys do on the show. Love it. And I have to agree with Eric that Bob Hoskins was a bear god. Anyway, guys, take it easy. Talk to you soon. I don't know. We'll see. Anyway, keep up the great work. Bye.
Well, thank you,
there
Jay.
You go.
There you go. One of your fellow
in
bears.
In your face, everyone. Bob Hoskins is a bear god.
And he lives in a town called Bear.
Yeah.
Cool.
Although he may have been saying Bayer. I don't know.
Well, it's very good to hear from you, Jay, even if you are, like Eric, suffering from that delusion. But, like buses...
You can't insult our listeners like that. He probably likes Toya as well, and he's probably going to switch off now after all your horrible bullying this episode.
Well, it's funny you didn't mention that, but like buses, normally we don't get any voicemails, but it's like buses, another one's come along, and this is the second voicemail.
Hey guys, Jay the Haunt Cub here again. Oh. Listen, I forgot to mention a couple things. One is that the main reason that I was prompted to call was I just listened to the episode of House on Sorority Row, and found out, which I didn't know, that it was filmed in the town I grew up in, Pikesville, Maryland. So I thought that was pretty cool. Also, Nathan and Joseph, I don't know if you guys still go into Baltimore at all anymore, because I'm obviously listening to old ones for Monster Mania or things, but I do tend to go to those or the ones in Cherry Hill, New Jersey. So if you guys ever let us know if you guys ever get back to Baltimore to go to that. Anyway, thanks again, guys. Take it easy.
Sorry, it's Jay again, and he still didn't mention Toya.
He will, and the next one he'll mention Toya and say how much he loves her.
Yeah, Jay, you've got to write back, sort of send us another message and say who you know, we can crown the queen of the podcast. Obviously, Eric, but Toya, Toya or Susie. Okay, yeah.
That's, to answer his question, we haven't been to Monster Mania. I think it was 2011 was the last time we went.
It's been a long time.
Yeah, I'd really like to go again, but you know,
how far is Baltimore from you?
It's 600 miles.
Whoa.
Yeah. It's about a 10, 11 hour drive.
That's where all the John Waters stuff is made, isn't it? Well, his early stuff.
Yeah. I would really love to go again, but money's been kind of tight lately, so maybe one day I'll go again.
Cool. Okay. Well, thank you for everyone's written in, and Jay for phoning in. And you heard in the, I think it's got the number, wasn't it, on the contact details for people to phone in. It's always nice to hear your dulcet tones.
Actually, I think that number expired, and no one really uses phone numbers anymore. So if you want to do a voicemail, just record yourself.
Oh, yeah. Good email us. Yes, that's probably the best way. And also means that's why the quality of that was probably so good. So, Joseph, do you want to tease our listeners with another clue or two or three?
Yes, well, people are waiting on pins and needles to see if anyone guessed correctly the second time. And the answer is no. Some good guesses, but no one has still guessed this thing. So I've decided to make these clues a little easier in hopes that someone will get it. Clue number one, and this is the same movie we started with, by the way. Clue number one is it's based on a novel. Clue number two is killer in title. And clue number three is vice versa. So there's your three clues. Hopefully someone will get it this time.
And what do they win if they get it?
Well, you have to get 5 points, be the first to get 5 points. And then if you win, you can either do a guest slot on the show or pick an episode for us to cover.
Okay, so get to it. And talking of episodes to cover, we are inching our way slowly to Christmas. So we will have a Christmas extravaganza will be our next episode in December. Again, because it's a very busy time in the year for us all. We're hoping to fit another one in before Christmas. And we are planning to go back to 1980 and back to the golden age of the slasher movie. And I'm going to wish everyone to all a good night. The David Hess directed slasher, Santa slasher. So that's going to be a fun one to cover. And then we'll hopefully be back in the new year, back to normal. So that's to look forward to. So sound off on the boards about to all a good night. I'm sure, Joseph, you'll put up a little thing after this, won't you?
Yes. I sure will.
Great. And
we sound really enthusiastic about that.
Yes, okay. Well, what are we playing out with, Joseph? What did...
Honestly, I sent you this stuff so long ago, I don't remember, but I think it's the I think it's just the Good Guy theme song, actually, the commercial.
Oh, so Susan the Banshees, Spellbound.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh. Yeah, I'm sure you'll insert that in there somewhere.
Rebel Run by Toya from that classic album I've shown you earlier.
It's never going to happen, Eric. Okay, well, thanks for listening to Hysteria Continues, and we'll see you next time. And we managed to get through the whole episode without mentioning Trump. But as people might probably know, Trump is...
We're not a political podcast.
No, exactly. But as people might know, Trump is slang for a big fart. So we'll leave it there.
Well, he did slag off Eric on Twitter.
He did.
That's true. He has said he's going to be slightly less reach out and attack people. So hopefully Eric won't come under, you know.
Well, I think
his orange spell. You think he's hot?
Yeah, he's dreamy.
Wow, there you go. Well, there. So,
orange people.
So, okay, we'll see you next time, and we'll get festive with Tool a good night. So, thanks for listening. So, say goodbye.
Jingle bells.
Toya smells.
Shut up.
Heidi ho.
All right. Say goodbye to good people.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Oh. Oops. Somebody's battery's fallen out.
Oh, God. It's always something with Justin.
So, have you given me some good material for the end of the show?
No.
Not really.
Oh. I think it was just Joseph was left on his own because we all wanted to do a shit.
What, like Toya?
Yep, on the floor. I just remember when we were wrapping up and just looking at Jesus, have we really been drinking for that long? No wonder I had a 2-day hangover.